Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم رؤيا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته فالأمير الذي على الناس راع وهو مسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع وهو على أهل بيته وهو مسؤول عنهم والمرأة راعية على أهل بيت بعلها وولده وهي مسؤولة عنهم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, indeed every single one of us, rather every single one of you and me, are shepherds. And every single one of us will be asked about our flock. This is a major task for every single Muslim, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has specified each and every individual. But I want you to cast your mind back to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the time of At-Ta'if, when the children had pelted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ennobled, beloved face until he had bled. Until he had complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despairingly, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'afa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. He said, oh Allah, I complain to you of my weakness, my lack in resources, and the humiliation of me from the people. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent the angels, the angel of the mountains, the angel of Akshabain, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dua, and he said, that indeed I will destroy all of them with the same mountain from which they took the stones and pelted you with. So not only did he tell him he would destroy that nation, he even gave him a suggestion on how he would do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَن يُخْرِجَ اللَّهَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. He said, no, rather, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring min aslabihim, from their loins, a people who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Subhanallah. This means that if we have a generation, a good generation can come from a people who had pelted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a good generation, then the opposite is also possible. Recently a brother asked me about parenting, and so I thought I'd share some do's and don'ts. It's just basically some do's and don'ts, and inshallah we pray. First of all, I want to mention when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitrah." He said that every single child is born upon the natural disposition to do what? To want to know Allah, to love His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to love Islam, to be interested in Islam, to find Islam fun, to find Islam something that he wants to be part of. So rather, it's actually, brothers and sisters and respected elders, It's actually the parents and the society that spoil this natural disposition, this good disposition we have in our children. So I want to just mention you some quick do's and don'ts, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, we should avoid being the proud parent. The proud parent is the type who basically says, you know, I won't send my son to anything. I won't let him learn with anyone who is not an Al-Azhar graduate or from Medina University. Nobody is good enough for my son. But then he takes his son home. He switches off the lights. He turns on the television. He orders out the takeout. And he leaves his child in the dark. We cannot be people like this. We should also make sure that we don't be like those who are the individualistic parents, the ananiyya, the ones who care only about themselves, and they pass this on to their child. They spoil their child in this. They're parents who do not struggle to learn about Islam for this ummah, and they don't want to struggle for this deen. And so I ask you to think about this, that we can lie to our children. We can tell them to become great things and great people, but they are watching our actions and they are acutely aware of what we do. Many excel their parents only because they see their father struggling and stumbling in trying to learn the deen and to struggle for this deen. And so he says, I will one day, inshallah, I will make sure that I carry on this da'wah. So this is one of the things that the youth have. And it doesn't matter that if, no matter how many hopes, brothers and sisters, how many hopes we show that we have for our children, if we do not have any hope and ambition for ourselves, our children will notice this. You can call them Tariq bin Ziyad. You can call them Muhammad al-Fatih, Saifuddin al-Qutus, Salahuddin Ayyubi. But if you have your feet up watching The Simpsons, then it doesn't matter what you tell them. They will take a different message from you. And it doesn't matter if you give them Islamic names. You can call them Muhammad. You can call them Uthman. You can call them Bilal. They will change their names. They will become Mo. They will become Ozzy. They will become Bills. They will change their name. You can't just give them a name and think that that's enough for the rest of their life. So this is the second category. The third, very quickly, is the poor parent. And I don't mean poor in money, brothers and sisters. I mean poor in the way that we think. You know, there's a lot of people, maybe you might agree or disagree, but from our general experience, you'll find that many lawyers and doctors, their children tend to do quite well in terms of their studies and certain aspects of their life. And maybe it's because the parents, they don't feel guilty when the son has no access to the television and he's just surrounded by books. They don't feel like, oh, this is an oppression on my child. And we need to think about this, that if we have succeeded, you know, we need to make sure that we take lessons that we have acquired in life and also take from the lessons from our own upbringing. We need to combine the two. That's why often you find parents who are successful still build an underachieving child. It's because they're regurgitating the way that they were brought up as a carbon copy. So we need to think about this as well. And also to be aware of the dunya we parent. The dunya we parent is a very dangerous specimen at the moment. When you get a parent, like Imam Ghazali, he mentions that every single person, he has a tendency to want to live forever. He wants to live forever. So they try to live their lives through their children. They want their children to carry on the accountancy firm, the law firm, the restaurant. But rather, the best inheritance that our children could have from us is that they themselves find a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a love for Islam, a closeness with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an appreciation of him and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So that's the best inheritance we can give them. Our children are not our update. So they're like the iOS patched update of me. They are just me, but a better version. This is not how our children are. Brothers and sisters, we need to deal with our children as we find them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them unique talents, unique abilities and tendencies. We need to nurture and encourage those and not try to impress upon them what we want them to be as a version of ourselves. Also, we need to make sure that we don't project our misgivings. I wasn't, alhamdulillah, you know, we were born, you know, in relative comfort. But, you know, when I grew up, we had to share our clothes, me and my brothers, we had to share our clothes. My youngest brother, maybe not so, he's bigger than everybody. But sometimes what happens is when you come into a bit of wealth, or you do all right for yourself, you may then think, oh, I don't want to deprive my son. I don't want to deprive him of all the consoles and the games and all the toys that I was deprived of. What does he know of what he's deprived and what he is not? These are the appetites that we build in our children. We need to make sure that they don't feel deprived based on our projection of our own misgivings, our own problems that we actually try to impart into our children. This is another bit of advice. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the best thing that a man can leave behind are three: a righteous son who will pray for him, ongoing charity whose wealth will reach him, and knowledge which is acted upon after his death. So these are the things that we should try to leave. The sadaqah jariyah, something that is constantly flowing and running after our lives are over through our children in terms of the good deeds, the amil salihat for this deen. So these are the some of the, I would say, don'ts. Now going on to just a nasiha from maybe some of my experience and from the advice that is given in the deen, that there's some things we need to rectify within our children. The do's. One, we need to build a correct relationship with our children with money. Brothers and sisters, money is one of the most dangerous, most poisonous, most toxic things that could harm our children. The relationship with money. It can be the greatest asset and tool for the believers, but it can also be one of the greatest harms. Is it not the case that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the best beloved place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajids, and the worst place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the shopping centers, are the marketplaces? Why? We don't disagree with economic activity and finance and working and living and earning a living. But at the same time, we have to realize, we have to contemplate, when we go with our families to, I don't know, the nearest shopping center to you, maybe Westfield or something, and you go with your children, do you feel a warm fuzz, a warm feeling in your heart with your family, surrounded by brands, breathing in pure artificial air-conditioned air? Do you feel good with your family at that time? This is something we need to ask ourselves. These are the shopping malls where consumers go to pray. So we need to consider this. At the same time, do we drag our children to the masjid like we're taking them to a janazah, even though there's no janazah being prayed? Are we taking them like it's by force, this is a struggle, this is something I don't like doing? Our children will pick up from this. So moving on very quickly, one of the advice on what to do with the children. With my father, he used to give me money to put into the donation box in the masjid. So I tried to give my son two equal amounts of money to give to the masjid. And one of them, I say, both of them he can have, but one of them is for the masjid and one of them is for the shop so he can buy sweets. But I give him that choice that he can keep both. And you see, he decides to give one to the masjid and one to the, when he goes and buys his sweets, because he realizes that that money is not his. You have to make sure that you build the correct relationship with money. You brothers and sisters, the ones who have children, you know when you give your son the first pound, with every son of Adam, when he looks at his first pound and he touches it and he thinks, oh, if only I could have one more. We need to build the correct relationship with our children with money. And also, we need to not bribe them. Don't say, you know, if you memorize the Quran, I'll give you a PlayStation 4. If you do this, I will give you that. Because one day they will get a job in Morrison's maybe, or some shopping center, and they will have a badge with their name on it and say, Dad, I make my own money now. You said that if I be good, you give me money. Well, I make my own money, so I determine for myself my own good. We need to be careful about these things. Secondly, moving on very quickly, we need to think about diet. Our children, we feed them high sugars and high fats. And actually, this affects their level of concentration, the control over their desires, their ability to concentrate and be serious. We need to think this. Many a time I've seen this with young adults who cannot sit down alone with the Quran, with the book, with any book, because they have no inability unless they have a movie or a film or some music or something playing in the background. They are not able to concentrate, the ability to think. A lot of us complain about the fahisha and the free mixing and the girlfriend-boyfriend stuff that goes on in our community. There might be some sort of correlation with the number of fried chicken shops that are in your area. It's, wallahu alam, something to think about. Also, very quickly moving on, is the relationship with the masjid. The masjid is the sanctuary for your children. The masjid is the sanctuary when they cannot go to their parents and they cannot go, wallahu, God help us, from certain friends who will take them God knows where. The masjid is the place where they can go to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their sanctuary. But make sure you don't send your children to the masjids and the institutes and not realize that actually you need to institute and imbibe and instill in them the values and the ideas of Al-Islam. You cannot just send them away and say, just raise my children for me. The Arabs, they say, Araq ala sajid, laysa bina al masajid. They say that the emphasis is upon building the sajid and not building the masajids. Definitely we need to build many masjids and we need to give money for the masjids. But at the same time, we have to realize we have to build someone who desires and wants to do sajda. And if we don't do that, all the masjids in the world are not going to suffice for our children because they don't have the appetite to do so. The Prophet ﷺ said, when he mentioned, I'm going to paraphrase, the seven who receive shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned someone who was into the deen, someone who was interested in practicing the deen when he was young. And then he mentioned also the one whose heart is tied to the masjid. These are one, two of the seven who will receive shade on the Day of Judgment. I put it to you, brothers, that the second is a consequence of the former, that rather that the one whose heart is tied to Islam in his younger days, his heart will insha'Allah ta'ala be tied to the masjid. Very quickly, also role models. Don't give your children action figures and cartoons of Marvel hero comics and then be surprised that when you mention the story of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that they feel unimpressed because you've spoiled in their minds these Western caricatures, these Western heroes that are not real. Unlike in Islam, that the more you dig and the more you look into the heroes of Islam, the more of a fragrant life that you discover and the more of a real life that you find. And the more you look into the Winston Churchills and the presidents, the more darkness and sordid things you find about them in their autobiographies. So we need to introduce our children to the true heroes of Islam and not corrupt them with superheroes that the West needs to look up to because they don't have real heroes. And lastly, very quickly, we need to make sure that we are gentle with our children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to stroke the head of children and he used to kiss their children. And one of the Bedouins, he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, you know, we're manly men. You know, we don't kiss our children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can I put mercy in a heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put mercy in the heart of that person? He also said in another narration, man la yarham la yurham, that the one who does not show mercy will not receive mercy. SubhanAllah, we need to think of that. Think about this. Many of us, maybe we were raised in a different way. Maybe on the other side of the table and our fathers on the other side of the table when we were young. But this was what they did. They did the best they could do with what they had. We can have access to knowledge. We can buy access to knowledge. We cannot go around being terrorizing our kids to love Islam. Rather, we have to encourage and nurture this in our children. So make sure, brothers and sisters, that we don't think that harshness is a means to learn about Islam. So I put it to you, brothers and sisters, very quickly, that do not condemn your children to a fate worse than death. A fate worse than death. How many of you run when your children cut their knee? A fate worse than death is a life that is in Jahannam with infinite repercussions and punishments. We need to make sure that we protect our children from that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed, he said, أَلَا كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. رِعَايَةَ and مَسْئُولِيَةَ have two basic characteristics if you look at the life of shepherds. When it ri'aya means the shepherd over his flock. One is to nurture, to develop through the rules towards the ma'roof. And the second is to protect, to restrict from the munkar, to implement hudud and limitations on our children. If we do not have limitations and nurturing happening at the same time, then we will not build balanced children. To protect and restrict from the munkar is something that we need to have. We lack discipline within our children. We need to give them discipline, but also in kind with nurturing. If we agree, brothers and sisters and respected elders, such a disaster that can be caused by bad parenting in the home, in the dar, to the family, the qawm, we as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we expect? Do we expect any less of a disaster by having no Amir to shepherd us? I mentioned, فَالْأَمِيرُ الَّذِي عَلَى النَّاسِ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, a time will come when the nations of the world will surround you from every side like people who are praying over the prey. So what is our situation without this ra'in? We need to consider and think about this. To what extent? To the extent when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the same hadith that we will reach the level of scum that floats on the oceans. To the extent that when you ask a brother, a young man, and you ask him about Syria or the Central African Republic, he selfishly, he says, it's not my problem. When you ask him about a grown man, about his parents, what are you going to do when they get old? Who's going to take care of them? He said, it's not my problem. I wonder where he gets that from. I wonder where he gets that from. It is this materialistic upbringing of the parents and the society that we need to consider. My final remarks. You see, Islam recognizes, brothers and sisters, the sphere of the individual, the family, the community, and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, we live in all of them, and all of these spheres affect each other. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have children on the day of judgment who ask for us, who are in Jannah, who ask for us. And I pray that we are protected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have children who are in hellfire, who then call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our child, na'udhu billah min dhalik, that our child is sitting in Jahannam and he calls to Allah, Ya Allah, bring my mother and father here for what I have ended up as. So we need to make sure that we have due diligence and care of our children. Also, I want to just mention one last point, inshallah, and then this is over, I guess. My son said something to me the other day. It was probably one of the best questions from a five-year-old or for any child, probably even adult, that I've heard for a long time in my life. He said to me, he actually said to his mom, he said, why was I born into this family? And initially I thought, you know, is this a complaint? You know, maybe you're doing a bad job. You know, is this a complaint? He said, because we had previously talked about the Syrian children who had been picking crumbs out of the garbage, out of the dirt. And he said, why wasn't I born into that family? Forget your family pride, brothers. We could be born into any family. Why is it that I'm not that child? What is his test? This is what he asked me. He said, why am I born into this family, surrounded by TV and books and pens and paper, you know, and heating and every, why was I sent to this family? This is what he asked. And we need to consider that. And I told him that no, the test for the children in Syria is the patience, the sabr, the tawakkul. This is their path to Jannah. So he asked, what's my job then? Is it just to, you know, just to enjoy myself? I've got nice clothes, I've got food, I've got clothing, I've got games. What's my role, Dad? This was a poignant question that I believe is important and valuable to five-year-olds, even 60-year-olds. We need to think about the answer to that question and what we are going to say to our children. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us children who are muaddab, who are mukhlis and muttaqis. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants this ummah a shepherd that will reclaim its flock. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن ولا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcasts.com.